Scientific and technological advances and open markets are creating both opportunities and challenges for today's organizations. To stay relevant as a company, you need to be able to adapt to unprecedented change, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. In this podcast, we will explore how leaders can build such organizations.
Hey everyone, welcome back.
Hey Anna, what are we going to cover today?
We're going to explore the concept of agile organizations.
So, what is an agile organization, conceptually speaking?
Well, it's an organization that is able to adapt to changes, to technological and scientific advances, and shifting customer needs. And agile organizations are also well aware of its own ignorance and is able to manage it.
Oh, that's quite a mouthful. Could you make it a bit more concrete?
Sure. So whenever we speak about agile, people tend to talk about the practices that comes with an agile organization. So they talk about stand-ups and Jira boards and retrospectives and Scrum. But agile is more about the values and the beliefs that a company is based upon. Whenever someone asks me what agile is, I normally say that it's the quickest way of building the wrong thing.
So what does that mean?
That an agile organization tries to validate their ideas early. They build the smallest thing that could possibly work and get feedback on it, so that they can find out after 2 weeks that they're heading in the wrong direction rather than 6 months or a year. I don't know if you've ever worked with a team that had that long of a feedback cycle.
Yes, I definitely have. Some time ago, a team that was asking for my support told me they had worked on their mission for just under a year. Mm-hmm. And during that time, they had been able to iteratively extend the functionality of their existing product for a specific use case. And this was a product that many people already happily paid for and used. Still, this functionality hadn't yet been enabled for a single user. Mm. And all this new functionality was only available on a non-public version of the product. And with minimal support from my end, a decision was made a couple of weeks later to gradually enable the new version for users. And it took only another handful of weeks for everyone to realize that the new functionality wasn't meeting the primary user needs for the specific use case. So it was decided to disable the feature and focus on meeting the needs with a different solution.
So a lot of wasted time. And I believe that most of us that are in software development can recognize and relate to this, because we've usually all been in situations where you feel like you've been plowing in time into something that ends up having a questionable or zero return of investment. But if we still all subscribe to it, why do we even end up there?
I think it's because we love solving problems. Mm. Because of dopamines and serotonins. Mm. The feeling of having contributed to solving a problem is so rewarding. Like, our desire for dopamine and serotonin makes us want to solve large and difficult problems.
Yeah.
And many teams I've worked with has also strived to tackle multiple problems at the same time, wanting to solve all issues in one go, even searching for the optimal solution. And often they are not even aware they are doing this. And guess what?
What?
I do it too.
Yeah, so do I. It's a classic trap for a lot of teams to let perfect be the enemy of good. Meaning that you're not solving for your immediate problem here and now, you also start branching out and trying to find solutions for every corner case or problems that you might run into 5 years from now. And even a mature development team can run into this quite frequently unless you have ways of mitigating for it. So one of my current teams that are building a completely new product, they have as their team motto that they build the smallest thing that could possibly work.
How does that help them, and how do they use it?
Well, since it's a new product, they have no idea what problems they will run into or even what the product will look like long term. So they learn by building and shipping and seeing what flies, basically. And whenever they get stuck in long and complex whiteboard sessions where they at last are completely fatigued, someone usually says, well, what's the smallest thing that could possibly work right now? And then they start over from there.
So to play the devil's advocate, mm-hmm. how do they make sure they don't just build a product that's full of duct tape and doesn't come together properly or suffer from quality issues?
Yeah. I think that's a fair question. I'd be lying if I'd said that everything is top-notch in the product as it is right now. There are definitely pieces that we will have to rework. But at this point, we have to prove that this is a product that's even something that the audience wants. It doesn't make sense to invest in building something incredibly robust and to cover all the corner cases if it turns out that we're building the wrong thing. That said, though, working with this mindset doesn't necessarily mean that we don't work with quality. So they make sure to add tests, and once they figure out what works and what actually is core to the product, they refactor and remodel previous decisions and implementations.
Got you. So that makes a lot of sense. What are some other tools you've found particularly helpful in overcoming patterns of teams taking too long to ship?
I would measure two things, one being lead time, which means how long does it take for us from the moment we initiate an idea until it's delivering value to someone. And the second being what's causing our delays. So for every time something is stalling, what's the reason? And when you start looking at these things, you'll get a more realistic view on how long it takes you and if you have patterns in what's creating the long lead times. Maybe you'll realize that you often get stuck on having to wait for handovers or getting a hold of your stakeholders for requirement questions. And then it's easier for you to visualize that problem to others and work on shortening the lead time and be quicker. What would you do?
So I usually tend to look at two things. Mm. One is how often a team or organization deliver value to someone, either a customer or a team or function within the company. And I'm curious about when they last delivered value and to whom, how many times they have delivered during the past 6 months and at what regularity. Has it been every day, every week, month, every quarter? Mm. Another is how they visualize their flow of work. And here I tend to be curious about what distinct stages their worker goes through, how long it stays in each stage, what gets visualized and what doesn't.
Hmm. What makes you choose these over others?
So I've noticed that the most exceptional teams at breaking down problems and picking the most relevant problem to solve are the ones that both deliver frequently and sustainably, and that everyone can physically see work move between stages throughout the week. So my main intent with this is usually to bring about conscious and explicit conversations about what the organization or specific team have been ultimately tasked with, namely to deliver value as regularly, frequently, and sustainably as possible. Mm. And also conversation about what has negative influence over their ability to do so, which is basically the same as your second point about what's causing delays. And this conversation has generally led to teams expressing an interest and motivation to learn continuously.
Mm. So if you don't create conditions that foster continuous learning, you're not really an agile organization?
Precisely.
Mm. And the chances of you finding out if you're building the wrong thing are pretty small.
That is correct.
Could you also mention what specifically helped the team from your first example to actually learn more quickly?
Sure. So in their specific case, I suggested they should try design sprints as a way to practice the habit to develop hypotheses and quickly deliver a solution to real users to gain new learnings. And all of this is done within 5 days. And for them, it turned out to be so useful for their context that they started running them regularly as a way to gain key qualitative learnings about their users' needs. Mm. And if you're unfamiliar with design sprints, you can find great resources on the web, both in terms of how to facilitate them and their origin. It's a really powerful way to get yourself focused on creating quick and regular learning.
Mm. So to recap, there are of course a lot of tools, but Agile is less about the processes you apply and more about the ability to create relevant conditions for learning quickly and then shifting based on those learnings.
Yes, that's right. And the things we found valuable and suggest you should try or do more of to improve conditions in your organization is to keep track of how often you deliver value to users and increase the frequency bit by bit. Visualize your workflow to make it easier to identify what's causing delays. Repeatedly ask yourself what the smallest thing you possibly could build is. Focus on validating your solutions over building a solution with superior quality. Identify the most relevant problem, user, and use case to focus on. And also try out design sprints to practice the habit of quickly delivering solutions to users to gain key learnings.
Great summary.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, bye.
Take care.